Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.ag. And for this week only, get a 110% sign-on bonus. 110% of your initial deposit by using code NEXTROUND. That's MyBookie.ag, code NEXTROUND. Clay Travis is the founder of Outkick, Fox Sports as well. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Clay Travis. What is up, Clay? How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing fantastic. Thanks a lot. It is NFL Draft Week. I don't know that it feels the same around here. There were years where Alabama, you know, they were going to have four guys go in the top 10, it felt like, or whatever. Is this a week that still fires you up as a Titans fan? Do you still get fired up for draft week?
I'm excited because the Titans have the seventh pick, but I don't know that it matters who the Titans take at the seventh pick because I'm not convinced Will Levis is ever going to be any good.
Yeah, that is what's frustrating, Clay. What do you do? Like, you're not going to take a quarterback, and you know Will Levis isn't the answer. I mean, that has got to be super frustrating if you're a Titans fan.
Well, it's just like you basically are killing time for 2 or 3 years until you go get another quarterback, right? So I think probably we'll see whether Malik Nabers is on the board or not. I think that might be an interesting decision. Otherwise, I think it'll be Joe Alt. So I think the answer is you go ahead and take what you hope is a linchpin for the next 7 or 8 years on the left side of your offensive line. And even if you're not sure who he's going to be blocking for in the years ahead, which I think is likely to be the case, right? Because I, again, am not sold on Will Levis. Then I think you go ahead and at least go get an elite left tackle, with the idea being that he'll be a good blocker for whomever the quarterback is in the years ahead.
Quarterback is such a crapshoot. After Zach Wilson got traded to the Broncos yesterday, I think of the 4 or 5 quarterbacks taken to the first round of 2021, only Trevor Lawrence is with his original team. With that said, there are people making an argument there are 4 franchise-like quarterbacks in this draft. Do you think there is 1 or 2 can't-miss guys?
So, what I saw from Jaden Daniels and from Caleb Williams at times was transcendent, I thought. And I'm a little bit concerned about Jaden Daniels' size. Can he take hits in the NFL where you know you're going to get popped a lot? He's still a very skinny guy. And I'm a little bit concerned about Caleb Williams and the maturity issues. Drake May showed flashes. J.J. McCarthy, to me, I know they won a national championship, but he feels more like a Will Levis type who can make every throw, but didn't do it necessarily on a consistent basis. So I would say I'm more confident in Caleb Williams and in Jaden Daniels than in anybody else. I am intrigued to see Michael Penix and Bo Nix, because now there's talk that there could be 6 first-round quarterbacks, and that would obviously be a crazy number. But what I think it's representative of is what we were just talking about with the Titans. If you don't have a top-10 quarterback, then there's really no hope for your franchise, and it doesn't matter how well you do at other positions. And it kind of sucks, honestly, if you don't have one of those quarterbacks, as I know Ryan Brown still fondly remembers the Dan Marino days. We'll see whether Tua still ends up being the guy. I know he's going to get paid a lot of money, but I think the verdict is still out. But in particular in the AFC, I mean, you know, these guys are also young. Patrick Mahomes is still, I think, only like 26, whatever the heck he is. And then you toss in Joe Burrow. We'll see how long the staying power is for Lamar Jackson. But Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, I mean, the number of guys you have to beat in the AFC that are just incredibly elite at the quarterback position is brutal. And if you were asking me right now, I don't think the Titans will. Again, I would love to be wrong about Will Levis. I don't think I am. I don't think the Titans will contend for the AFC title for a decade or more based on the way things look right now.
Yeah, isn't it crazy what happened to that 2021 quarterback draft? Because I think we thought all of them were really good, and now the only guy, with Zach Wilson being traded to Denver, the only guy still left in his place is Trevor down at Jacksonville. All those guys that were drafted in the first round are at different teams now, and some of them are looking like flops. These quarterbacks.
And is the jury still out on Trevor Lawrence, you think?
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's the other thing. I mean, you would rather have C.J. Stroud by far than you would Trevor Lawrence right now, and we don't know about Anthony Richardson, who got knocked out, I think, in week 6 or 7 last year, if I remember correctly, and basically is still a rookie coming back for his second season. But, yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of a tough spot to be in. If you're a Titans fan, is you've got four quarterbacks right now, all of whom are 25 or younger, and I think honestly, maybe you would put Anthony Richardson in last place right now. There's just not a lot of data for him, but again, I'm just not very optimistic on Will Levis long range.
You know, Clay Travis is with us, founder of Outkick, Fox Sports. You could make the argument. I don't know how you guys would feel about this. It is the most important position in any sport. NFL quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't even think that's a close.
It's not even close.
Some people used to say starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, but I'm behind that.
You got
that
five now. Of those.
Yeah, you get five of those. Yeah. It's quarterback in NFL. Yet, nobody, Clay, has ever found an efficient way of evaluating these guys.
Yeah, I know.
Isn't that wild?
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. When you consider the amount of money that's at stake, the drafting of quarterbacks is still basically a crapshoot. The thing is, if you get it right, the one positive is you've got a guy for 10 or 15 years, which is relatively rare. But the problem is you miss a lot. And, I feel like, for the Titans, they got a little bit lucky with the reclamation project of Ryan Tannehill. But if you look since Steve McNair, they've swung and missed with Vince Young, and some of these have been bigger misses than others, right? I mean, you can still have not been an unmitigated disaster. I mean, Vince Young played in a playoff game, but swung and missed with Vince Young, swung and missed with Jake Locker, swung and missed with Marcus Mariota, and I'm afraid are going to swing and miss with Will Levis. And all three of those first guys, I think Levis ended up, the first pick of the second round or the second pick of the second round, something like that. So he's effectively a first rounder. But Vince Young, I believe, went 3 overall. He was the first quarterback taken that year. Jake Locker, I think, went, and I know it was a top 10 pick. I think I know Cam went number 1 that year, if I remember correctly. And Jake Locker ended up behind, who's the guy from Missouri that played
Blaine
forever,
Gabbert?
But never. Yeah, Blaine Gabbert, I think, went above Jake Locker, too. But then you look at Mariota went 2 to Jameis Winston. So, in other words, there's 3 top 10 picks in the last, 15 years that the Titans have swung and missed on at quarterback. And unfortunately, I feel like Will Levis is going to end up the 4th.
Andy brings up what I was about to bring up to you. That's why I love what the 49ers have done. They have just surrounded what appears to be an average quarterback or a manager of quarterback with just elite talent.
They got the luckiest break of all time. The guy drafted dead last ends up actually being
the quarterback. And by the way, before you get to your point, Clay, they still haven't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they've been damn good.
Yeah. They also swung and missed on Trey Lance.
No doubt.
They actually wasted whatever. Why didn't they take him the first quarter?
No, wait a minute. They swung and missed on Garoppolo, too.
Trey Lance was part of that 2021 draft.
Right. But back-to-back quarterbacks they missed on, and the one they hit on is the luckiest pick of all time. I mean, nobody thought that guy was going to be any good.
Yeah, and I think also that's a credit. I mean, I know he gets a lot of criticism because he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but I do think Kyle Shanahan is one of the 4 or 5 best play-calling offensive and head coaches in the NFL. So I do think even if you look, I mean, he won a lot of games with Garoppolo. I mean, Garoppolo started a Super Bowl for him. So yes, they swung and missed completely on Trey Lance, but I think that's a sign of how well they've done elsewhere. And here's a crazy stat for you since you guys are talking draft. Look this up. I think this is the first time the Rams have drafted in the first round in 7 years.
Yeah, since 2016, Jared Goff, absolutely.
Yeah, it'd be great when they take Bo Nix.
No,
Les Snead takes Bo Nix.
Because they won a Super Bowl, and they haven't even drafted in the first round.
Think about this, Clay. In those 7 years, Sean McVay has taken them to the postseason 5 times, 2 Super Bowls, 1 championship.
That's why the first round's so overrated.
They've killed it. I mean, what would you give for Puka's a first round guy, right? Cooper Kupp, they obviously got him, whatever it was, the third round.
Yeah, third round, Puka, 5th round.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've gotten first round caliber talent. I mean, how many NFL teams right now would give up a first round pick for Puka? A lot, I think, and he's only been in the league for 1 year.
So, random question yesterday, Jack Nicholson, the legendary actor, was 87 years old. Ask the question, better career, Jack Nicholson or Jack Nicholas?
I thought you were going to ask me about Jack Nicholas. I think Jack Nicholas, right? He has the most majors of all time. I mean, Jack Nicholson is an incredible actor, but I think there are probably four or five other guys you could put in his age range that you would say, like, just off the top of my head, what is Nicholson, like 80? What, how old did you say he was?
87.
Oh, wow. I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah.
And didn't Nicholas change the way courses were designed
not
a little bit?
Not as much as Tiger, but maybe to a certain extent, yeah.
No, yeah, I mean, not by his game, but...
Oh, his design company.
His business, his design company.
He's been a successful golf businessman beyond that.
Like, he's the one that started making more fan-friendly, player-friendly golf courses as opposed to those old 1970 raised greens, postage stamp greens. They made bigger greens. I thought Jack was one of the authors of that early on.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, too, because I was thinking that Nicholson was not as old, because I was going to say, you know, I kind of think of Pacino and De Niro as... you know, kind of contemporaries of his. I guess those guys are probably approaching, you know, 80 themselves. But I think, you know, having more majors than anybody in the history of the game, I don't think you can argue that that Jack Nicholson is the greatest actor of all time.
I mean, I don't know, 12 Academy Award nominations and 3 wins.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, what? Yeah. Who has more nominations? Anybody?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that all? That's not all for...
That's all... I mean, yeah, best supporting and best actor.
So best supporting or best
lead.
Yeah,
so...
Meryl Streep probably has...
Yeah, Meryl Streep. Yeah, if we're talking, yeah, if you want to throw actresses in there.
Yeah.
But I don't know anybody else that would have that many nominations. He's been nominated for 17 Golden Globes.
Well, I'll just tell you this. List of actors with 3 or more Academy Award nominations is the Wikipedia site that pops up. So that shows you how rare that is.
I mean, Dunaway, I think, is going to be arguing soon that we have to do away with the best actor and best actress category. I mean, why segregate by gender?
No. This is what your side does. For those of us that are in the middle that don't like what you guys do to our country.
Yeah. I don't know that we should be acknowledging gender in this way.
You two political parties who try to pull us apart and play ratings games with us. There's some of us that still believe in the middle ground and a compromise.
I believe men and women are equal.
Hey, speaking of actors, a guy that we haven't seen in forever because obviously in a little bit of trouble, Alec Baldwin. I saw you posted he was getting coffee. What happened?
Yeah, have you guys seen that video? You should play it. Yeah.
I will tell you this, you think I'm this woke guy that whoever that person is behind the camera is way out of line and should go to jail.
Go to jail.
By the way, you guys did really good work from Talladega.
Thank you.
A lot of funny videos.
Thank you.
That was
credit to Little T and EG and Kelsey and all the people behind the scenes. They did great.
It was very funny stuff. I am so over this whole era of see someone grab your phone and put your phone right in their face. So the video is basically somebody sees Alec Baldwin. And look, I'm no great fan of Alec Baldwin. I think he was an incredible actor, but I think he's done a lot of ridiculous things that have nothing to do with acting. But, you know, a girl I'm assuming it's probably like a New York City area coffee house, just gets her phone and puts it right in his face and demands that he say free Palestine. And criticize Israel and just chases him around the restaurant or the coffee shop. And he's trying to open the door and allow her to leave. And it's probably a minute and a half of her just with the camera right in his face. And finally, he just like either tries to grab the camera or knock it out. She says he assaulted her. But I think this whole idea we've normalized of people just pulling their phones out and putting it right in somebody's face and demeaning them is, to me, I think it's just a sign of the descent of society in general. I mean, if you want to take a picture with somebody famous or you want to ask, like, whatever, I'm totally fine with it. But getting your camera and recording it and trying to make yourself look like the victim when somebody finally gets tired of having a camera like shoved right in their face.
The reason they do that, Clay, is because Alec is known to go off every time somebody puts a camera in his face. So she knows she's going to get a reaction.
Oh, yeah. She got what she wanted.
Yeah, but see, if I'm on the jury or if I'm the judge,
Jimmy America,
it's going to flip back around. Not only do I dismiss it, I charge her and send her to jail. I'm one of those judges that would say, I don't care what the jury says. I've seen enough. 6 months in jail for that young lady. Alec, have a good day.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a big picture. I'm reading actually a really good book by the guy's name is Jonathan Haidt, about the collapse of society, basically, with the rise of phones. And what's interesting is women, girls in particular, teenage girls have been the biggest, mental health has collapsed, basically, with the introduction of the iPhone. Across the board, and I think it certainly led to greater societal division. But his thesis is that, and I feel somewhat fortunate because I just turned 45, and you guys are old enough as well. Like, you're not totally foreign when it comes to the internet, but you developed in the real world before the internet existed, and certainly before the iPhone existed. And Gen Z, which is basically an entirely iPhone-centric generation, they're just falling apart. And so there are all these different studies now that are making it clear that, for instance, a kid shouldn't have a phone at school. And one of the big arguments that he makes in this book, and again, the guy's name is Jonathan Haidt, Anxious Generation, I think, is the title of the book. Is that, like, this is not particularly partisan. They should take phones out of schools. Kids shouldn't be on social media until they're like 16 years old. But it's been incredibly toxic and destructive. And I think generations ahead are going to look, everybody thinks they're so smart. I think generations ahead are going to look at the iPhone and social media as the equivalent of cigarettes and smoking. Nowadays you see nobody smoking a cigarette almost, right? Like it's certainly not anybody very often who's in their 20s smokes a cigarette, but these kids are on their phones all the time. And I think there is an analogy to be drawn between cigarettes and social media and the iPhone and what it's done to mental health. Anyway,
Alec Baldwin's ears just perked up thinking about a class action lawsuit.
I think that Alec Baldwin video is representative of that in general. I think The Anxious Generation is the name of the book. It's a fabulous read. I think it's the number one best-selling book in America right now by a guy named Jonathan Haidt, Haidt. I'd encourage people to check it out.
Are you Oprah now? You got a book club on your show in the afternoon?
Yeah. I don't think the guy needs to get any endorsements from me. I mean, it's the number one book in America. I think it's going to sell a million copies of it probably.
Clay Travis.
And if all of you look under your seats right now, you've got a free copy.
Yeah. Clay, thank you for the time. Have a great week.
All right, see y'all.
All right, Clay Travis with us on the JohnstonRVCenter.com hotline.